Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, our scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, which says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This verse is a great promise to all believers that if we're faithful, as we continue to be led by the Holy Spirit and do the work that God has called us to do, as we're abounding in the work of the Lord, always doing His work and not our work, His way and not our way, we know that our labor is not in vain. What a great promise. There's rewards for being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you will continue to walk with Him, sense His presence, and do His work and do His will.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the lives being changed. Today's message from our missionary to Dominican Republic.
We are so excited to share with you that we have reached our fundraising goal for the Ramos House. We will be finishing the last few projects for the house over the next couple of months and are in awe of how God provided for this house, and for the generosity of everyone who donated. Thank you so much for your prayers, support, and donations towards this amazing dream. What we expected would take decades to build, surprisingly, took only a few years. We know this is because God has a plan for this house. The ministry home needed to be finished for His purposes. We are humbled by your calling and His work in our lives. Jutila Isin, the house while still under construction has been very successful for us as we are full and blessed beyond measure. We moved into the house over a year ago and hosted our first guests in the house almost immediately. Since then, we have hosted many guests in the house over the last year, including a full mission team this past December.
Community outreach continues as Saturday morning teaching brought out 59 children who are squished into the ministry house, two and three to a chair, sing their hearts out to Jesus. This news made me well up. I couldn't help it. This was a space of beauty in an expansive community where physical beauty was scarce. Imagine what can happen in this community in the years to come as these teens become adults equipped to lead. Already this year, they have hosted three visitors and are actively planning for many more, including another team this summer. This was the first full team to stay with them in the Ramos house, and we are so thankful for partnerships and support for the ministry for the Hope and Joy Kids. As we draw this episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to thank you for listening. It has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Ministries, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. Still to Jesus I hold, who will walk with me there, and the Lord, He will give me His strength. Yes, the Lord, He will give me His strength. Yes, the Lord, He will give me His strength. And if I should remain in the valley today,
Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about the power of praying through fear, a book of prayers, by Stormio Marchin. Find the peace you long for amid the things that frighten you with the help of this collection of prayers from Stormio Marchin. Each prayer is paired with a scripture verse so you can steady your heart and mind on the truth of God's Word. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying Through Fear, a book of prayers by Stormio Marchin, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning. Printed copies are available upon request.
Years ago, the prophet Joel was given a vision in which he was permitted to look far beyond his day and our day, and was moved by the Holy Spirit and what he saw to write, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." The expression "day of the Lord" occurs frequently in the prophetic scriptures. Specifically, it refers to the time of Christ's personal return to take over the management of this earth. It will be marked by a sequence of events which will profoundly affect every person living at that time. The great battle of Armageddon that will end the future Antichrist godless tyranny. The judgment of nations described in Matthew 25. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints. The regathering of the dispersed tribes of Israel to Palestine, and the reestablishment of the ancient throne of King David, the removal of Satan from the world scene, and the establishment of Christ's millennial kingdom on an earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Yes, everybody should be interested to know what the scriptures tell us about the coming great day of the Lord. We'll examine into this more fully in a later talk in this series, which I've entitled God's Great Days. While the future day of the Lord will be one of the greatest of those days, it isn't the only one. A systematic study of the scriptures reveals a sequence of what may rightly be called God's Great Days. Two are in the past, one relates to the present, and three are in the future. A knowledge of all six provides a helpful overview of the Bible's message to mankind, and is invaluable in enabling us to see and understand where we fit into God's eternal plan and purpose, and what the future holds for us as well as for others. The first of God's great days to which our attention is directed in the scriptures is his day of creation. The book of Genesis opens with these words, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." It is clear that the beginning referred to was the beginning of everything physical that exists. God himself always existed. He had no beginning. He always was. John's gospel opens with these words. In the beginning was the Word. That's spelled with a capital W, and is one of the many Bible names for God in the divine person of Christ. In the beginning was the Word. If you could ferret out the origin of the first thing in the universe or in the numerous galaxies of heaven, you would find, prior to its beginning, God already was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These affirmations confront our minds with something beyond their power to comprehend. We're creatures of time. Everything with which we're acquainted had a beginning and will have an end. But when we come to the realm of God, the realm of the infinite, there is no time. God is eternal. He had no beginning. He always was, just as he always will be. No beginning, no end. As the psalmist says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The fact of God's eternal existence is the answer to man's quest to discover the first cause of the things that exist. Some of the theories men advance with respect to that first cause are pathetically illogical. When men speculate that life began in a primitive form in the slime of some primeval sea, it leaves unanswered the questions, where did the slime come from? Where did the sea come from? To argue that the first cause was energy doesn't explain how the energy came into existence. Man's unwillingness to acknowledge the reality of an eternal self-existent God as the creator of energy and matter and life stems from the implication of such an acknowledgement. You see, if God is the creator of all things, including man, then man has an inescapable responsibility to his creator. Man doesn't want a God who holds him responsible for his conduct and attitude and desires. So he rejects the concept of creation as an act of God and attempts to explain everything by logic and substantiate it with scientific proof. But neither of these extends to the infinite, which requires the exercise of the attribute of faith. As Paul says in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But God is much more than the first cause of everything that exists. He is a living triune spirit being comprising God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three divine persons capable of operating and manifesting themselves individually and yet comprising one indivisible eternal Godhead. That divine Trinity is a mystery beyond our comprehension. The scriptures also tell us that God is not only eternal and self-existent, but he is omnipotent. There's no limit to his power. He is omniscient. That is, he knows all things, past, present, and future. He is omnipresent. That is, wholly everywhere at one and the same time. He is immutable. He never changes. And he is infinitely holy and just and altogether righteous. Sin or evil of any kind cannot exist in his presence. He also is infinite in love and compassion and mercy. He is by character an eternal God who reveals himself. And the first form that revelation took was his work of creation and recreation. So the day of creation became the first of God's great days. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's an all-embracing statement. It encompasses everything in the physical universe and all the galaxies of heaven. It was an indescribable demonstration of God's omnipotence. David describes it in Psalm 33 in these words, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. His creation of the physical universe was followed by another act of creation, which again staggers the imagination. He created a race of living spirit beings whom the Bible refers to as angels. The scriptures give us few details about the creation of the angelic hosts. We are told that they're highly intelligent spirit beings. They possess bodily forms, or at least can manifest themselves in bodily forms, but they do not possess flesh and bones, as do human beings. They are innumerable in number, but their number is constant. They do not marry or reproduce. There are different ranks of angels. Reference is made to archangels, to cherubim and seraphim. Ezekiel 28 speaks of the archangel Lucifer as the greatest of them all, who sealed up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Ironically, it was Lucifer who first brought sin into the original perfect universe. Ezekiel 28:17 says, "His heart was lifted up because of his beauty, and his wisdom corrupted by reason of his brightness." Isaiah 14:12-14 describes his pride and insurrection against God in these words, "Thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." As a result of his insurrection, Lucifer was cast out of heaven and from God's presence and became Satan, the archenemy of God. Many of the angelic host joined him in his insurrection and were cast out with him. They are the fallen spirit beings the Bible refers to as demons or evil spirits. They are the evil spirits with whom many spiritually blinded people are becoming involved today through spiritism and Satan worship. There is no greater or more dangerous folly. When the righteous judgment of the Holy God fell on Lucifer and his followers, it also resulted in the devastation of at least much of the original perfect universe, including this earth. So we read in Genesis 1 and 2, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Job 9:4-7 recalls the judgmental acts of God which resulted in that desolation in these words, "Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars." That's the biblical explanation of the great ice age, of which much evidence remains to this day. But it was not in God's eternal plan and purpose to let his creation be destroyed or remain marred. And so he moved to perform the miraculous work of recreation described in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the space of 6 days, he reconstructed this earth to be the home of a new race of living creatures whom he proposed to create. On day one, he commanded light to appear, and he divided light from darkness, calling the light day and the darkness night. On day two, he created a firmament to separate the water on the earth from the waters in the form of vapor above the earth. On day three, he gathered the waters on the earth together into oceans and seas, exposing the dry land on which he then established vegetation. On day four, he reestablished the sun and moon and planets and stars and set them in operation, each in its appointed orbit. The matchless precision with which those heavenly bodies operate continues to stagger man's imagination. On day five, he created all manner of fish and fowl to populate the sea and the skies. And on the sixth day, he performed a work of creation which defies description. From the dust of the earth, he formed a man in his own image, after his own likeness, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. A man became a living soul, distinct and different from any other forms of life or living creatures that exist. He climaxed this amazing work by creating a woman to be a helpmate for the man. He brought them together and blessed them and established them in the Edenic paradise he'd prepared as their home. And there in the cool of each day, he walked and talked and fellowshiped with them. Thus ended God's great day of creation and recreation. The Bible gives no indication that God has engaged in any work of creation since he formed and imparted life to Adam and Eve. In that first of his great days, God had brought into being this earth and the entire physical universe and the race of living spirit beings, the angelic hosts. He restructured the universe and this earth to be the home for the human race, which he originated by creating man in his own image and imparting to him the breath of life. The biblical account then records how man permitted Satan to deceive him into sinning against God and destroying the glorious relationship man until that time had enjoyed with his Creator. It records the endless battle for the souls and minds of men and women that has raged ever since. It describes God's sacrifice of his Son to purchase man's redemption from sin and his restoration to eternal fellowship with his Creator. It describes the work of divine recreation that God performs in the heart and soul of each individual who receives his Son as his Savior and is reborn by the Holy Spirit into the family and household of God. Oh, my friend, do you know personally that God of creation, that God of the Bible, who is your Creator and the giver of the life you possess? Have you acknowledged the sin in your very nature that makes you inclined to doing what is wrong rather than what is right? Have you learned and believed that God, in his love for you, sacrificed his Son on the cross to make atonement for your sins and bear the penalty of those sins in your stead, that you might be forgiven and freed from all condemnation and judgment? Now, you may know a lot about Christ, but your salvation depends not on merely knowing about him, but on knowing him personally as your own Savior and Lord. He waits again today to hear your response to his invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you've never done so before, will you come to him today? If you will, bow your head in prayer and tell him so, as our invitation hymn is sung. May God bless you.
As we draw this broadcast to a close, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28-29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of his love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also, remember to order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying Through Fear, A Book of Prayers, by Stormy O'Martian. Find the peace you long for amid the things that frighten you with the help of this collection of prayers from Stormy O'Martian. Each prayer is paired with a scripture verse, so you can steady your heart and mind on the truth of God's Word. To order your copy of this booklet, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care, and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.